The Lord be with you. Our reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it had come from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this at the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. As I was reading the readings this week, and specifically the gospel, the wedding at Cana kept coming back at me, specifically the word wedding, and I was constantly over and over reminded of a wedding that I celebrated here last summer. And the couple had invited me to the reception afterwards, and I was available and free, so they invited me in advance, so I planned on attending the reception as well. And I did. And I'd never been to this reception hall before, but I got there. And keep in mind, I didn't know a lot of people. I met the wedding party at the rehearsal. I knew the bride and groom, the parents. I didn't know a lot of people. But I got to this reception hall, and I'm, for a few minutes, mixing and mingling, and I didn't know a whole lot of people. And I found out I really don't know anyone. And then I saw the bride and I was like, I don't know her either. I was at the wrong place. I didn't realize this place had multiple facilities. So I don't know what she thought, but she may have thought I was a cousin. I don't know, but she didn't. I didn't stay long. But I think God, even last night I remembered in our Eucharistic prayer, the word humility pops up. So God always is reminding us of to be humble, and humble is a very good thing. And the most perfect way we see humility is in the Eucharist, Jesus. And so humility, I had a dose over the summer and almost every day of my life. But today, in today's gospel, we hear the first miracle Jesus ever worked, and it's recorded in today's gospel, and it took place at a wedding. And one would think Jesus' first miracle would be something simply amazing, jaw-dropping, awesome, but Jesus' first miracle is a very simple one, and it happened in the course of everyday life. It happened at a wedding. People got married all the time back then, just like they got married now, get married today. So this is a normal event in everyday life. And we know the story. We heard the story. The wine ran out. In those days, there was the wedding ceremony, and the party afterwards would last 3 days. And it took a lot of wine to keep the people happy. Usually, and we heard this in the gospel, you would serve the good wine first. Because, quite frankly, by the third day, the lesser quality wine didn't really bother the people. And they couldn't taste the difference. And here we see in Jesus' miracle, he not only manufactures wine, but he makes the best wine. The best wine. And it is overflowing. And that's the nature of God's miracles. The best for you and me. And it's overflowing. And it, at this reception, it is no coincidence that Jesus' mother Mary is there at Jesus' first miracle. Mary does not work the miracle. Jesus works the miracle. But it is Mary who intercedes. Mary tells them that they need wine. And so it is today and throughout all the ages. Mary intercedes for you, and Mary intercedes for me, and Jesus works the miracle. The Blessed Mother intercedes for us all the time if we go to her. Earlier this week, in thinking about miracles, I watched a documentary on Walt Disney. I was fascinated with the man, the imagination that he had, the dream that he had, the concept that Walt Disney had. Walt Disney had a dream to put miracles in people's lives. And as I was reading about the miracle at Cana, the concept of Walt Disney came up. And I couldn't help but think that you and I can be the miracle in someone's life. We can set off a dream in somebody to ultimately know their heart, to follow their heart, which ultimately would lead them to search and find what is good, what is holy, and what is true. God puts people in our lives, and God puts you and me in people's lives to make a difference. We all have dreams. I'll admit, I had dreams too. I had dreams of a career, making money. I admit, in those pews too, at one time I did dream and ask myself, what would it be like to be a priest? What would it be like to be up there? I did dream from time to time, what would it be like to be a priest? Dreams do come true. Dreams do come true when we use the gifts that God has given us. In high school, I also dreamed of hitting the last second shot in a basketball game. That dream never came true. I also dreamed of stealing home in a baseball game. That dream came true, but my coach would say that was not one of God's gifts of mine, speed. Disney's goal was to awaken the dreamer, not only in children, but in everybody. Adults as well. He said, and I quote, "What good is it if I awaken the dreamer and the kid and not the parent?" He went on to say, it may as well not happen because the parent raises the child. Walt Disney. We can say the same about our faith. We can teach and catechize our youth of our parish. But if the parents don't do the same at home, it's lost. Disney's goal was to put this fire, this atmosphere of dreams into kids' lives and their parents also. It's hard to imagine life without Disney. Every year before Christmas, The Sound of Music is on. Walt Disney said, "We must never forget because all of this started because of a mouse." Walt Disney failed many times before his dream came true. Walt Disney also looked up to Abraham Lincoln for inspiration. Lincoln, too, failed many times before he became president of the United States. St. Paul reminds us the Holy Spirit provides a variety of gifts in our lives. It is in these gifts that we allow God to work through us. Miracles do happen, and only God works those miracles. So we can look at our lives and the gifts that God has given us and gives us in our day. Are we using our gifts with the same passion as the servants at Cana? Our gifts allow God to work through us. As we think of this first miracle of Jesus, miracles do happen. We can set off dreams in people that open them up to the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Another miracle in the hand of God is life. As we come upon the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court decision, we have only to look at ourselves to see the value of life. Every year since this Supreme Court decision in 1973, there has been a March for Life in Washington, D.C. And in recent years, a March for Life has filtered into cities such as Indianapolis, Chicago, San Francisco, and I'm sure others. This decision said that no state can make a law that abortion is illegal within the first two trimesters of a pregnancy. That's 24 weeks. Since then, some states have tried to take this law even further. In 2017, I spent a summer at St. Vincent's Hospital in Indianapolis. I had a wide range of experiences that summer. I saw trauma. Some was newsworthy. I saw life. I saw death. And everything in between. But my last weekend at the hospital, I was called to the women's hospital. There, the mother had delivered a stillborn child. From the 86th Street Hospital to the Women's Hospital, I prayed the whole way, not knowing. As I walked into the room, the mother was in her bed, sitting up, the husband to her side, sitting down. We talked, and it was then, after a few minutes, she showed me her child. 17 weeks old. There I saw the hands, the ears, the toes, the mouth, everything that I have, 17 weeks old. This child had a soul. God works the miracle of life. In January of 2020, I attended the March for Life in Washington, D.C. for the first time. And it's hard to put words to it. It was a short walk, but it took hours. Hours because of the people, the enormity of the people there. We must be the voice of those who have no voice. They may not have a voice, but they do have a heart. Life starts at the very beginning. Because they do not have a voice, we are their voice. In Isaiah, or in our first reading today, Isaiah writes, "For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her vindication shines forth like the dawn and her victory like a burning torch." And that's what we continue to do as Catholics. Here at St. Louis de Montfort, we have started praying the Novena for Life, and it's not too late to pray this Novena. Cards, I see, are in the narthex on that table out there. Last night, the Knights of Columbus showed the movie Roe versus Wade after Mass. Parishioners, year after year here, have prayed in front of the Planned Parenthood. They have prayed on Allisonville Road during the 40 Days for Life. A couple years ago, when I was at Holy Spirit at Geist, they showed the movie Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson, the once Planned Parenthood director, whose conversion led her to be a pro-life faithful. God's miracles are our miracles. Mother Teresa said it simply and to the point. If we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. And so we ask God to help us cherish the gift of life, that miracle of life, and to continue to pray for life and to be a voice for life. We are making strides in this effort. We have come a long way, but we are not there yet. St. Paul tells us that we are all one in the same spirit. When one suffers, we all suffer, just like a family, because that's who we are. On the other hand, we are joyful when two become one in a wedding. in that holy sacrament of matrimony. And so we come here and pray that we will fully live our own lives and use our gifts and allow God to work through us to accomplish His mission here on earth. Life matters because you matter. You have mattered to God from the very beginning. In our first reading, we heard that the Lord delights in you. He delights in every human being, which means He has loved each one of us into existence, and He delights in each one of us.